Thank you. Please be seated. I want to welcome everyone to our service of worship today. Lent is a time of reflection, as I've mentioned in my notes at the end of the service order. And I would ask you to think about this book study, Love Over Fear, that's in the bulletin. And copies are in my office, and the first four chapters will be talked over coffee and muffins Saturday morning, this coming Saturday, I think it's the 14th, and then we'll read the final four chapters and talk over with coffee and muffins on March 28th. It's actually, I think, a really good book for our day and age when it says, facing monsters, befriending enemies, and healing our polarized world. I think you will enjoy it. Also, anybody here ever do house cleaning? Occasionally? Do you ever find things that you forgot you had when you do some house cleaning? I found some old copies of Henry Nouwen's From Fear to Love and their Lenten daily devotions on the parable of the prodigal son, and I've left them on that kind of book display at the back. There's about a dozen copies. Feel free to just take one if you would like to. Speaking of devotional books, the daily bread devotion books for March, April, and May are in your mailbox slots. Keith Pepper is selling maple syrup for the 15 Strathcona if you like maple syrup, and the morning glories are on Tuesday. So please take your bulletin home. There's that and lots of other exciting news that is there. Now, I have some really good news for you. How many have heard that Appleby has a vacation Bible camp? Has anybody heard that occasionally? Thank you. Do you know that the registration page was put up on March the 4th, and we had a full house by Saturday, March the 7th. I mean, that is just staggering. You know, we have 38 campers coming. It's awesome. If you as an adult or a teen would like to help out, I think it's the 10th to the 14th in August. It is tons of fun, big and old kids alike. Please let me know. We're always looking for new people to help. Now, if you get, anybody get the Hamilton Spectator? Thank you. Did you notice what was on the front page of Friday's Spectator? It was about the coronavirus in churches and how congregations are encouraged to use elbow greetings or fist pumps rather than handshakes to help prevent the spread of disease. It also mentions how important it is to wash your hands regularly. That's the biggest deterrent of catching any kind of virus. And then keep your hands away from your mouth and nose for the coronavirus, because that's how it gets into your respiratory system. So please wash hands regularly, cough into your elbow, and keep your hands away from your face if at all possible, please. Are there any other announcements, celebrations, or concerns? And we're going to do the fist pump after church on the way out today. Are there any other announcements, health celebrations, or concerns for the church family today?
Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. And through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship.
Let us now acknowledge God's presence in words. And this is a continuation of what we talked about last week, that in our walk through Lent, Lenten time has a pause for a moment as we gather and worship on Sunday morning. That when you count up the 40 days, Sunday is not included. It's considered a little Easter, so it's not part of the Lenten time. So welcome to this little Easter as we draw together to celebrate the one who knows us and names us and calls us into community. Let us pray. In the beauty of this place, we come to pray, to worship, and to receive healing and hope. We rejoice in this special place you have provided for us. Whether we gather to talk of your presence and your love, to sing your praises, and to be remembered to go forth to serve our community. Amen. Our next hymn is in the soft-covered Voices United at the end, More Voices, at the end of the pews, number 12, Come Touch Our Hearts, and we'll sing verses 1 to 4. More Voices, number 12. Thank you. As I've mentioned, Lent is a time of reflection on our lives, our goals, and so we take a moment in our service of worship for a time of reflection and saying, I'm sorry, recognizing it's an important part of our lives. Let us pray. Loving God, as we continue the Lenten journey, remind us that with your love, we have the strength to follow you.
As we worship this day,
surround us with your presence. Make known us what we express in the songs we sing and in the prayers we offer. Reveal yourself in the people around us, that we might be reassured that we are not alone on this journey. As we follow you, we are aware that you call us to places we may not always want to go. Be with us and forgive our hesitation. Renew our resolve and show us the courage to travel with your Son and Christ as we seek to grow in faith in this Lenten time. Take a moment to ask God what you need to reflect on in this Lenten season. Amen. Let us take a moment to soak in and be reassured of God's never-ending love for us. The good news of the gospel is this: our God is loving and life-giving always, always, always. May our God give us hope and strength to be the people we were created to be. Amen. Our gospel stories today are stories about Jesus touching and healing others. Our first is from Matthew 4, verses 23 to 25, and it's kind of a summary statement of Jesus' life and work. And notice this happens very shortly after his led into the desert. Last week we looked at the temptations of Jesus, and this is the beginning of his work in Galilee, and this is the end of the fourth chapter. Jesus went all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news about the kingdom, and healing people who had all kinds of disease and sickness. The news about him spread through the whole country of Syria, so that people brought to him all those who were sick, suffering from all kinds of diseases and disorders, people with demons and epileptics and paralytics, and Jesus healed them all. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and the 10 towns, from Jerusalem, Judea, and the land on the other side of the Jordan. Then our next gospel lesson is Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. And I find it interesting, and I'll mention it in the message, that chapters 5, 6, and 7 are the Sermon on the Mount. So immediately after the Sermon on the Mount, we have these three stories of Jesus' healing. When Jesus came down from the hill, large crowds followed him. Then a man suffering from a dreaded skin disease came to him, knelt down before him, and said, "Sir, if you want to, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out and touched him. "I do want to," he answered, "be clean." At once the man was healed of his disease. Then Jesus said to him, "Listen, don't tell anyone, but go straight to the priest and let him examine you. Then in order to prove to everyone that you are cured, offer the sacrifice that Moses ordered." When Jesus entered Capernaum, a Roman officer met him and begged for help. "Sir, my servant is sick in bed at home, unable to move and suffering terribly." "I will go and make him well," Jesus said. "Oh no, sir," answered the officer. "I do not deserve to have you come into my house. Just give the order and my servant will get well. I too am a man under the authority of superior officers, and I have soldiers under me. I order this one go and he goes, and I order this one come and he comes, and I order my slave do this and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was surprised and said to the people following him, "I tell you, I have never found anyone in Israel with faith like this. I assure you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But those who should be in the kingdom will be thrown out into the darkness, where they will cry and gnash their teeth." Then Jesus said to the officer, "Go home, and what you believe will be done for you." And the officer's servant was healed at that very moment. Jesus went to Peter's home, and there he saw Peter's mother-in-law sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. She got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, people brought to Jesus many who had demons in them. Jesus drove out the evil spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. He did this to make true what the prophet Isaiah had said. He himself took our sickness and carried away our diseases. Thanks be to God for these words. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As I mentioned in my bulletin notes, Lent is a time for reflection, a time for taking stock of your own life and where you are going. At a Vision Lead team meeting over a month ago, a seed was planted. What about doing a series of messages on Appleby's mission statement during Lent? It was a great idea to increase the profile of the vision and mission statement in the church and in our lives. And if you look at the screen or in the bulletin on the second last page, you will see Appleby's vision. planting seeds by nurturing faith, hope, compassion, and justice. And how do we do that? Through our mission statement. Walking with Jesus, we comfort the sick, we feed the hungry, welcome the stranger, engage others in conversation about God, seek justice and resist evil, and gather to worship God. And today we're starting at the beginning, we comfort the sick. If there are three things that people might agree about Jesus were summarized at the beginning of our passage from Matthew today. Jesus went all over Galilee teaching in the synagogues. Number one, Jesus was known as a great teacher. Known as a great what?
Teacher.
A great teacher, thank you. Preaching about the good news about the kingdom. Secondly, Jesus constantly talked about the kingdom of God. Or in Matthew's gospel, he often says the kingdom of heaven. Do you want to know why? Being an observant Jew, the word God was too holy to write or even say. In the Old Testament, the name for Yahweh was taken out, and any time you look and see Lord in capital letters, that's where the Hebrew word Yahweh was, which was the name that was given out of the burning bush with Moses. And then finally, and healing people with all kinds of disease and sickness. Three, Jesus was a great healer. So Jesus was a great teacher, talked about the kingdom constantly, and a great healer. Now the news about Jesus spread through the whole country of Syria so that people brought to him all who were sick, suffering from all kinds of diseases and disorders, and Jesus healed them. Wow. Healed them all, actually. What a statement. Jesus healed them all. Amazing. Now, since the Enlightenment, miracles have been a controversial element in the gospel stories. Anyone here ever heard of Thomas Jefferson? You've heard his name? Thank you. Mentioned occasionally. He edited a version of the gospels that eliminated all the miraculous events and all the miracle stories and kept only the teaching elements. It was quite an abbreviated gospel. Historically speaking, there can be no doubt that Jesus went about healing and working marvels that astonished people, even though it may not be clear exactly what happened in every case. Now, if you read the Bible, it is rather concerned that miracles do not become a substitute for faith, that a miracle faith is regarded as inadequate but often necessary, the starting point to be transcended as quickly as possible. In his ministry as healer savior, we might say Jesus used miracles as an attention-getting device to draw the crowds as an expression of God's love, compassion, and power to save his people. But maybe the best expression in John's gospel is in John's gospel, where after Jesus feeds the 5,000, he says to the crowds, "I am telling you the truth. You are looking for me because you ate the bread and had all you wanted, not because you understood my miracles or what they were pointing to. Do not work for food that spoils. Instead, work for food that lasts for eternal life." So the miracles weren't the main point. And just as in Bible times, so today, some are interested in charismatic healings and healing shrines like Lourdes in France, and others are not. But to all, miracles are useful in showing that reality is not statically fixed or irreformable, but everything is open to the mystery, wonder, awe, and transforming power of God. Even today, there are some healings or cures that confound doctors, though they are the rare exception to the rule. One can never know what the role of prayer and faith can play. Now, most of us here are not doctors or nurses, chiropractors, nurse practitioners, lab technicians, physiotherapists, psychotherapists, or all the other large realm of healthcare professionals that play a huge role in healing people of their diseases and restoring them to health and wholeness today. But we still have a huge role to play in the healing ministry of the church or of comforting the sick. Have you ever heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words? Thank you. So sandwiched between our two passages of scripture today was Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It is probably the largest section of teaching in any of the Gospels. And immediately afterwards, Jesus heals three people. Actions speak. Thank you. Now, I've always loved this first healing story. When Jesus comes down the hill, large crowds follow him. Then a man suffering from a dreaded skin disease came up to him, knelt down before him, and said, "Sir, if you want to, you can make me clean." Notice Jesus' response. Jesus reached out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do want to." Jesus answered, "Be clean." Notice the subtlety in Jesus' response. He reached out his hand, touched him. How many of you, in an act of caring or empathy, have reached out and put your hand on someone's shoulder or on their hand? Please notice here, Jesus is reaching across social and religious taboos to show the depth of God's love and compassion for this man. He reached out and touched a ritually unclean person. If you had a skin disease, you were considered unclean. You had to walk on the other side of the road. You had to live on the other side of town. You were permanently quarantined. It was their way of trying to prevent the spread of disease, which we're quite aware of during the coronavirus. That is why Jesus immediately sends him off to the priest so that he can be officially declared clean and restored back to community. He can now interact with others. "I want to." I absolutely love those words. Can you say them with me, please? "I want to." Thank you. That's stressing God's blessing. Jesus desires God's blessing, health, and wholeness for each and every one of us. "I want to." And I consider that incredibly good news. Now, in these three healing stories that follow, please notice in the first two, the person asks for Jesus for healing. The man suffering from this skin disease, "Sir, if you want to, you can make me clean." The Roman officer, "Sir, my servant is sick, in bed at home, unable to move and suffering terribly." In the third healing, no request is made. Jesus notices Peter's mother-in-law is sick in bed with a fever, reaches out and touches her hand, and the fever leaves her. Part of our role as followers of Jesus is noticing people in distress and being open to reaching out and talking to them. Harold Kushner makes a wonderful statement. He says, "Human beings are God's love language. When you are hurt by life and cry out in pain and suffering, God responds through good and caring people. The doctors and nurses and all the health professions who care for you or your loved one, friends and neighbors who drop by and ask if there's anything they can do to help, sometimes drop by with casseroles and other things. The most common refrain I hear in times of crisis by friends is neighbors, "I don't know what to say." And I love Harold's advice. You know someone going through a hard time, don't wait for your friend to pawn their dignity and ask you for help. You reach out to them, you go and ask them and be with them. You don't know what to say, let me give you a little course. Say, "I'm so sorry this has happened and I feel terrible for you." And then he says, "Be quiet." Just simply sit and listen. Cry with them. Give them a hug if they are comfortable with it. How did Harold get so smart? He says, "I went to the home of parents whose child had died tragically. They asked why God allowed this to happen." And in his mind, Harold says, "Well, here, that's good. I can do something about this. I know about God. I have a PhD in theology." And so I gave them a 10-minute explanation of my Theology 101 course and watched their eyes glaze over. And then he said, "I know that's a little technical. It's hard to get the first time around. Would you like me to say it again?" And you know what they said? "No, Rabbi, we have suffered enough." You know? Wonderful. He learned over time, people want consolation, not explanation. "Why me" is not a question, it's a cry of pain. And you ease that pain by being there. And if you stay away because you are uncomfortable or you don't know what to say, you do the worst thing possible. You leave them to cry alone, and no one deserves that. A grad student did a study. Harold says it's amazing the things you can get a PhD for these days. The study was to see how long you can keep a bare foot in a bucket of ice-cold water. You can try it when you go home if you want. You know, get your ice cubes out, you know. Do you know that if there's someone else in the room with you, sitting with you, you can keep that foot in the bucket of ice-cold water twice as long? So that when you do reach out and go and sit with someone, cry with someone, you are helping them to endure. When you invite someone into your life in the midst of pain, you can endure twice as much. Isn't that amazing? Walking with Jesus, we comfort the sick. When you reach out and touch someone or talk with someone, be available to someone, sit with someone who is ill or suffering, you cannot heal them as Jesus did, but you can certainly help ease their pain. By reaching out and being with them, being willing to cry with them, you are letting them know they are not alone and that someone cares. And that is an incredible ministry indeed. One that we can all do and is so incredibly important. Dave McKenzie knew I was talking on walking with Jesus, comforting the sick today. So late Saturday afternoon, this appeared in my email box. It is a note of thanks to Appleby for the prayers for their grandson Jacob to be used at my discretion. And I thought it was appropriate at the end of today's message. A sick boy comforted. 1 year ago, our then 16-year-old grandson Jacob was diagnosed with osteosarcoma in his left pelvis. After 8 months of chemotherapy, 3 surgeries, and 9 weeks of intensive psychotherapy, Jacob has been cleared to restart his life in any way he wants. He is back to school full-time and actively participating with the Burlington Teen Tour Band and looking forward to the band's tour in Myrtle Beach during the March break, which I think is a week from now. It's next week. Jacob will still have many challenges ahead as he works hard to regain full mobility, but the latest scans show him to be free of any cancer. The people of Appleby prayed for Jacob, his family, and the oncology teams continuously through this very difficult year. As he progressed through the myriad of medical procedures and treatments, we know that God was hearing those prayers. Thank you, Appleby, for your prayers of comfort have been answered. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is in the soft-covered Voices United hymn book, number 182, Stay With Me Through the Night. While this hymn was inspired by the end of the Emmaus Road story, when discouraged disciples invited the stranger to stay with them at the end of day, I think its words are very appropriate at the end of this message. Number 182, Stay With Us Through the Night. Please be seated. And that's what we do when we help comfort the sick. We stay with them so they know they have company through the night, through their grief. Through your morning's offering, you help the church stand beside those who are suffering or going through difficult times. Help us to find ways to let them know we want to borrow Jesus' words, to help them find peace, wholeness, and security. We'll now have this morning's offering. Thank you.
pray. Loving God, we offer our gifts to you. Here are the hopes of our hearts, the excitement of our dreams, the way of our faith, the gift of our lives. We offer all that we are in the name of Jesus Christ for your ongoing work for good in the world. Amen. Please be seated.
Let us pray. Good morning, gracious and loving God. We take a moment during Lent to say thank you for the stories of Jesus. Stories that give a light to our path and help to lead us to more abundant life for ourselves and for others and for the world, the good world you have made. Today, O God, we want to thank you for the healing stories of Jesus, for knowing that Jesus desires to reach out and make us whole. I want to. Then as now, O God, people are suffering with all kinds of diseases and disorders. What then may have been called demons, we now realize were probably mental health disorders, schizophrenia and others. Remind us of your love and grace, O God, and your desire to make everyone whole. We thank you that as Canadians, we have decided to maintain a universal health care plan, recognizing that many are touched and healed in this way. We pray for the cracks in the system and the long waiting list for counselors, as well as knee and hip replacements. May we continue to see a universal health care plan as a top priority for us in Ontario and Canada. So your healing hand, O God, may touch as many people as possible, regardless of income level. Jesus loved all, even those who were considered unclean, on the margins of society, and those with mental health problems. And he reached out and touched them. Make us constantly aware of the impact of our choices, O God, both individually and collectively through the political process that they have on the type of world and communities we live in. Help us also to be sensitive to those around us who may be going through difficult times. Help us to reach out and let them know that we care and that they are not alone in whatever difficulties they face. This we ask in the name of one who was always with us and who taught us to dream together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is from the hardcover hymn book number 512, Lord, You Give the Great Commission. We are omitting verse 3, which is a kind of about communion. So verses 1, 2, 4, and 5, number 512, Lord, You Give the Great Commission. Thank you.
Thank you.